Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Alan.
How have you been?
I've been festive.
For those listening off time or not live, because I guess you can't listen live to our podcast, but
In a t- if you're not listening in a timely manner.
right. If you're not listening in a timely manner, it was just the kind of end of year holiday season, whatever you might call that. To be as
Our
inclusive as possible.
post-apocalypse time.
Yes, exactly. The 13th Baktun going well for you then?
Oh, it's going great. This might be my favorite Baktun yet.
Yeah, as far as I know, the world did not end, so I think we're doing fine. The end of the world is currently not a thing, so we're doing all right. And happy whatever holiday you like to do around this time of year. I'm kind of a Christmas guy, so I said Merry Christmas. It's kind of a thing I do.
I think we should take some credit as our podcast being a reason for there not being an apocalypse.
Yeah, you heard it here first. The end of the world, not a thing.
Because of Not a Thing podcast.
Yeah, there's
Who can dispute it? Nobody, exactly. Where
pretty
we go?
much, pretty much. So we were thinking of kicking around a retrospective of the year, kind of looking back on all the wonderful things and not so wonderful things that have come through and stuff like that. And I can honestly say that I prepared very, very little for this. So if this episode sounds a little odd, you can safely put that blame on me, but we're gonna do our best.
No, I think we share the blame on that because we're in the same boat. We may be recording from different locations, but we are in the same boat.
Excellent. Well, I can think of a few things that came up this year in kind of a few different categories. So we can just kind of riff on that and see where it goes. And if you have suggestions, you listeners of our Not a Thing podcast, we want to thank you again, kind of continuously as it goes, because without you, we're kind of just recording this for ourselves, which is somewhat interesting, but it's also, I think, more fun that you guys are out there. So thanks for listening. If you have any other thoughts about 2012 that we don't get to in the next 40 or so minutes, feel free to let us know.
Yes, call us at 555-1378.
Operators are standing by. And if you call in the next 15 minutes, your order will be upgraded to free shipping.
You get 100% more prizes.
Yes, exactly. And free shipping. How can you lose? So that's actually one thing that was big for me in 2012, which was the Not a Thing podcast starting.
Yeah, I think we definitely can put that towards the top of our combined list of
Yes.
good events of 2012.
Yeah, that was a big one for me. I'm gonna wax nostalgic all the way back to the months before our podcast. I feel like we even had talked about the podcast kind of in jest at the like very early on in the year. But I'm glad we actually got it together and started because it's fun. I like it.
Yeah.
And I have one story. So, newish listener, Seth, actually, my brother-in-law, full disclosure, talked to me just a couple days ago because he started listening to the podcast. And you know how on the Nerdist podcast, they always talk about how some people like latch on to different things that people say and then like kind of quote it back to them, and then they're like, we don't what we, I don't know, what are you talking about? It's like, you talked about that in episode like blah 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 blah. It's like, yeah, that was like a year ago. I don't remember these things. So that happened to me. So Seth had said something that we had referenced in one of the very first podcasts, and I had no context for it. It was just like, it was some inside joke that somehow I was now outside of. So,
what do you remember what it was?
It was
see if I can remember it.
Yeah. Well, it I guess sometime in one of the first episodes, I had made some kind of disclaimer that like that's what it was. We were talking about how we kind of wouldn't talk about work because we were concerned about things getting back to us or anything like that in any kind of negative light.
Uh-huh.
And he said that, oh, well, I'm going to be one of those things that that gets back to you in a negative light. And I'm like, what are you, what? Very odd, very specific reference. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, oh, that was in this episode. I'm like, oh, wow. So that's what that feels like.
I approve.
That's pretty cool. I think that's cool. So
that should be a thing.
Yes.
People latching on to minutia in our podcast should be a thing.
As long as they latch on to something, I'd be happy. I mean, if our podcast can help one person, then our job is done. Yeah, I'm like I said, very happy for the podcast. Only positive feedback, really. That touched off a quick conversation. My dad, of all people, like, said that he listened to a couple of the episodes. It was actually the ones when we were recording separately. I think it was 12A and 12B.
If you oh, really?
And he liked both of them. So I thought
somebody listened to 12B. Oh my gosh! All right,
12B was good. I liked David. That was good.
That's like the secret track. 12B is the secret. It's like, oh, it's a deep cut. If you know 12B of Not a Thing podcast, then you really listen.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the podcast has helped me remember a lot of the things that kind of were noteworthy of this year. So I actually don't remember a lot from the beginning half of the year. I remember a lot of the stuff. Because we talked about it, like I remember,
right.
Curiosity landing, the whole thing with Disney and
Red
Marvel.
Bull jump,
the which one? I'm sorry,
the Red Bull Sky jump.
Yes, the Sky Felix jump. Baumgartner jump. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's
so we don't need to talk that much about those things because all we need to say is listen to previous episodes.
Yeah, we don't have to do...
It's been covered.
We don't have to do the clip show, like,
yeah.
You know, Not a Thing podcast.
I'm not a fan of clip shows. I do not think they should be a thing.
I wholeheartedly agree, actually. Very.
The only
very
clip show I liked was the one they did on Community, because it was a clip show of clips that weren't from the show.
Right.
It was events that had happened to the characters, but weren't in any of the previous episodes.
Yeah,
that's how it should be done.
That's what I like about, do you watch the show New Girl?
I do.
So one of the things that they do that I really, really like is they have, they'll have kind of throwaway flashbacks where,
like Fat Schmidt?
You never, whatever. And then they'll kind of flashback to, you know, this is how it is, and it's always been this way, and it's kind of like this joke that everybody already knows this, but nobody actually does. It's just this new thing they're introducing that week, and I just like how they pull that together. I mean, they obviously can't reconcile them in any kind of way, but I think clip shows are inherently bad. I like when they did one on Next Generation, as I think it was season 2's finale was a clip show. Kind of sad.
If I'm remembering correctly, Stargate had multiple clip shows because they kept thinking they were going to get canceled.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we might as well do a clip show. Oh, wait, we got renewed again.
And then
they had 5 years of being on the chopping block.
Right.
Every year they thought it was going to be over.
Oh, Stargate SG-1.
Maybe that's why it got better as it went on. They're like, oh, well, we got to pull out all the stops. We're going to get canceled.
Yeah. Just every year, they're just like, oh, my God. So glad we made it. Yeah. Oh, Stargate. Stargate. Not Star Trek. Not Star Trek. Stargate. Different thing.
Both.
Never the twain shall meet. I was just... We were just talking actually about Sci-Fi Network and how they kind of have fallen out of out of favor among
out of
people
sci-fi.
That actually like sci-fi. Yeah, yeah. Sci-Fi Network should be a thing. Maybe, might be again. We'll see.
Sci-fi with an with eyes should yes. be a thing, not sci-fi with Y's.
I agree. Cool. What else happened this year? What else that I can't talk about because we didn't talk about on the podcast yet?
this was a busy year for movies for me. This is the first year I actually counted how many movies I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This isn't just movies I saw. It's movies that I saw that were released this year.
Okay.
The final tally within the year was 43.
Wow.
Plus the re-release of Raiders of the Lost Ark. that's a lot of movies.
That's epic.
So I came up with a top 10 list, but it was really hard to choose because most movies I watch, I like.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty good screening process. I don't sit through many movies that I'm not enjoying.
Mm-hmm. So for the most part, those 43 movies were movies you liked. So the top 10 from that is
yeah, I probably liked 40 of them.
Yeah. Oh, well, we have to talk about the other three, but maybe offline.
Yeah. Stay positive.
Right.
But I was thinking maybe we could run through those top 10.
Sure.
And see what your thoughts on those movies were as well.
Yeah, yeah. I hope I've seen most of them. We'll see how it goes.
So these are in no particular order. Or actually, no. They are in a particular order. It's chronological of release order.
Okay.
So the first one being John Carter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've talked about that a little bit kind of in pieces.
Kind of repeatedly.
But yeah, it's, I really liked it. And I think, it got kind of a short shrift, as they say.
I've probably championed it more than I should just because I feel like I have to counteract all the negative backlash.
Yeah. Yeah, it had a really poor kind of marketing engine, which is surprising for a Disney film. But yeah,
well, and a bad title.
Yeah. Well, again, marketing, right? They could have.
Yeah.
They could have just done that a lot better. I think it would have gotten kind of generally better reception. I think the most vocal people that didn't like it, I'm not 100% sure that all of those people actually saw it. But anyway, John Carter should be a thing.
Yes. I guess it's the 10 movies that should be a thing for 2012. The other one being Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, I've
maybe
actually,
my favorite movie of the year.
Wow. I've still yet to see it. I really should. So I'll make that a New Year's resolution for me to finally see Cabin in the Woods. I think I can pull that off this year. Yeah.
Because I'm not a huge fan of horror movies. In fact, I'm not even a fan of horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I will watch anything that Joss Whedon makes. And it is really funny. The way it's again, the marketing thing, I think they marketed the way they did to conceal the surprise of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the funniest movies I saw this year.
Hmm. Cool.
Good stuff. Definitely see that. Put that on. Everyone should put that on their list. Let's see. After that comes The Avengers, another Joss Whedon production.
A very different Joss Whedon production from Cabin in the Woods, I think.
Oh, well, both have Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, Avengers was really good. I mean, it's hard to do kind of ensemble cast movies, especially ones where the characters really came from other movies. So you're just kind of mashing them all together. And I think they did a good job about pulling all that together and not kind of shafting anyone, you know, screen time wise or story time wise. I think if anyone got the shaft in that movie, kind of, I think it might have been Captain America. I feel like they made him too kind of goody-two-shoesy, and it was kind of one note. I think everybody else kind of had some kind of growth, or a little bit. Anyway, maybe. I don't know. It's really hard to do growth in a movie that has so many things going on. But, like, I think they devoted maybe a little too much to the Hawkeye storyline.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really liked Avengers. I could, I'll get behind that as a thing for 2012.
I'm hard pressed to think of a movie that has a better final 45 minutes. That was every dream as a comic book fan I'd wanted to see. It was really well done. All right, so next on the list being Ted, the movie, the podcast listener.
Hi, Ted.
Hey, Ted.
Yeah, I another movie that I didn't see, but really, really wanted to. I feel like I didn't want to see it in theater because I didn't think it needed the theater experience, although I kind of regret not seeing it because of the for comedies, they tend to work well in a theater, even if it doesn't require the, you know,
it's crazy the community experience,
3D high frame rate, whatever they're doing to films these days, kind of thing.
No, yeah, definitely you should see that. It's funny, solid comedy from the Family Guy guys.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane. I mean, it's hard to go wrong with him. Although he's hosting the Oscars, is that correct?
I believe so. And also doing one thing to look forward to, I think it's this year, maybe next year, is they're redoing Cosmos.
Yeah.
With Neil deGrasse Tyson and Seth MacFarlane.
Wow.
So that's going to be a thing.
That's pretty cool.
Throw that on my look forward to list.
Cool. Okay, what's next?
All right, so middle of the lineup actually goes back to the beginning of this podcast, its roots, Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises was good. I mean, it standalone, maybe not as good as Dark Knight, but as part of the trilogy, really, really good.
Yeah, see episode one.
Yes.
In regards to Dark Knight, see episode one of the podcast, not Star Wars. Oh. Don't see episode one of Star Wars. Skip it.
Absolutely skip it.
I did skip the 3D re-release this year.
Oh, I didn't even know that was happening this year.
Yeah.
I heard it was coming, but I didn't know it was this year.
Yeah, it was this year.
I guess that came and went. Oh, well.
Dodge that bullet.
Yeah.
Dodge that pod.
Yikes. All right, anyway.
So, next one, another one we reviewed on the podcast, or you reviewed, and then I saw afterwards, End of Watch.
That was really good. I liked it a lot. I remember...
it's an intense movie.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in a top 10 movies list. Just recently too. It's just, really, really intense, really not pretentious at all. And despite the kind of star power involved, really not that kind of ego heavy. You know, no one was like, oh, well, of course he's gonna blah blah blah. And, you know, no, not at all. It was very, very kind of humble kind of telling.
Mm-hmm. Heartfelt cop movie.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Plus, I think we said this when we reviewed it. Anna Kendrick, kind of a thing.
Yeah. She's actually in another movie upcoming on this list.
Oh, cool.
Another podcast-related movie review. see, next on the list would be Looper.
Ah, yes, Looper. I let's see. Did we talk about Looper on the podcast?
I believe we did.
Okay, all right. Okay, then we'll
see episode
more.
Labeled Looper. next on the list, Pitch Perfect.
Okay, I think we did talk about that very briefly.
We did.
I didn't see it. I still have
you
not,
did?
but
no. I was tempted to not put it on my list, but I felt like I needed to just because of any of the movies I saw other than Cabin in the Woods, it surprised me with how it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I had not big expectations going into it at all. I dragged along to the movie to take my little sister, and it was really funny. It was good. And I think that deserves recognition.
Yeah, that's big. That's high praise, I think, for when a movie, you know, can completely sidetrack you. And so, without it being because, like, they structured the trailers really poorly or something like that.
Well, it was one of those, I hadn't seen any of the trailers. I went in completely blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a nice to be surprised.
Cool.
Then we got Skyfall.
Oh, yeah. And that's interesting because it... I was thinking about it after we had talked about it a little more, and the really interesting thing about it for me was that there are a few references to what kind of year or time it is, but they're not so overt. I mean, you can kind of tell it's like, oh, well, that's this model Jaguar or whatever. But for the most part, especially, you know, the back kind of half of it, they're not really time bound to any particular thing, which I think helps for them because so much of the theme of that movie was that, you know, some things are timeless, right? Like the
mm-hmm.
you know the shaving thing and the whiskey and the, you know, going back and looking at, you know, this Austin Martin, it will always look good as a James Bond car, that kind of thing. I think they did a really good job of keeping kind of themes throughout the whole movie in that, and that was good.
I think it was a good message of, hey, we've been making these movies for 50 years. We could make these for another 50 years, and you will keep watching them.
Yeah, yeah, and we would. It's true.
Yeah, I will. I plan on living for 50 more years. I'll watch another however many 20-something odd more Bond movies. Why not? And so last on the list, just saw this week, Django Unchained.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? How did that go?
Did you see it yet?
I did not.
Oh, see it.
Should I?
It is... it is ultra-violent.
Okay.
It is the Tarantino-iest of Tarantino movies.
Oh, wow. So that's saying a lot, because for me, I have kind of a love-hate thing with Tarantino. I think his movies are amazingly self-indulgent. Just,
oh, yeah.
Ridiculously done and suffer from kind of similar kind of writing problems. And it's mostly just the dialogue can be really bad. But
it's very bombastic. Yeah. It's it was a lot of fun. It kind of reminded me of a cross between Kill Bill 2 and Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
Which now he's saying is Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, and his next movie are his revisionist history trilogy.
I see that. Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm fine with that. I enjoy it.
That's good.
Nazis never stop being good bad guys. Racist slave owners never stop being good bad guys.
Ooh, what is his next one going to be? What else are the
Well, what I read on the interwebs was that it's going to be set in World War II with a black platoon going through and killing Nazis and racist American soldiers. So it's like a cross between the first two.
Right, right.
But it was apparently supposed to originally have been part of Inglourious Basterds when he conceived the idea as a miniseries.
Okay.
And so it was supposed to be an episode in that. But now he wants to make it into its own movie. But I don't know if that's true. That That's just what I read on the internet.
That does sound
and
fun.
We know the internet can be suspect, unless it's not a thing podcast, and then it's true.
Just the facts. Mostly, yeah. Kind of, sort of. Awesome. That's
They're
a good
true
list.
As we know.
Yeah. That's a really solid list. I think watching those movies would give a good and hearty seal approval from Not a Thing Podcast anyway.
I do have to disclose there are a lot of good movies. There's still so I ran through every movie that came out this year. Mm-hmm. I'd seen 43. There were still 21 that I want to see. And most of those are the ones that are getting Oscar consideration. So
oh well, you have a little bit of time before the
it was a popcorn heavy year. It was very very flashy movies, not you know deep movies.
Yeah, well, I think
they're on my to-do list.
Right, I think it's you know the movie experience, and we've talked about that you know too in other podcasts, and just how the you know you go to the theater to get a certain experience, a certain kind of set of things, and I think after our talk with Tom and everything else about The Hobbit and how those movies are kind of redefining the film kind of components or the theater experience to some degree, I think that mm-hmm. will that may change, but maybe not this year. We'll see, maybe 2014. I don't know, we got some time.
We'll see what this Bucktoon holds.
Yeah. So I found just very very quickly. I don't know if I sent you the article on this. I'll link it in the show notes. But there was an article talking about how up to The Hobbit, filmmaking has been it's in impressionist period of film. So impressionist in that. Film doesn't look like real life. It's kind of maybe a little more blurry, a little kind of fuzzy around the edges. There's kind of some graininess. And now with The Hobbit, film is kind of moving into a more kind of realist period. That and, you know, high def TV and, you know, that 120 or 240 hertz sharpness and stuff like that. And I thought that was a very interesting take on how that is. Like they are different experiences, but they can both be used as storytelling kind of methods or tools. Like you could have something that's ultra ultra sharp and then kind of blurry, and you can do it maybe on purpose, maybe even in the same movie, to convey different things, which I think could be good. Maybe
I have not to see for Guy Ritchie. Well.
Sorry?
It might not be good for Guy Ritchie.
Well, I think it could be done well. I think it has to be implemented well. And I think The Hobbit is, you know, just one interpretation of it so far. So there'll probably be more, and that'll probably be interesting. I mean, it gets me into the theater anyway. I'm not sure if I'll see the other Hobbit movies in 3D high frame rate, but... I think it's good to see some branching and some kind of growth and some different things to get people into the theater that aren't maybe as gimmicky as 3D. Maybe.
Maybe.
Cool. Well, that's a good kind of movie highlights for 2012. We should probably... do a what's coming for 2013 kind of list. Maybe not a whole episode on that, but we should look into that. Maybe a little more research, but
I'll get my assistant on it.
Yeah. I'll have my people kind of look at it. We'll crowdsource that.
I don't have an assistant. If you would like to be my assistant for the podcast, email me at my address on the webpage.
Yes. Yes. That would be great. I don't know how many people would want to intern for the Not a Thing podcast, but I would love to know.
Interns get paid in hugs.
Yeah.
But like friendly hugs, not like hugs.
Well, maybe, unless they're really, really cute. Maybe if Anna Kendrick wants to intern for the Not a Thing podcast.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna
Yeah, okay, all right. Anyway. Probably not a thing. Okay. So
I'm not gonna even bother writing my congressman about that.
So one other thing that I know was new for me this year was kind of a resurgence of board games. I mean, I'd always liked board games. I'd always liked kind of off the wall board games a little bit. I mean, everyone plays like Monopoly and Sorry and stuff like that. But there were a few games this year that I was able to branch into quite a bit, and that was fun. So I think my favorite from that list, actually, I'll save my favorite, but one that kind of comes up out of nowhere, and it's kind of, again, like a game that really isn't looked at or really highlight, is Pit. And that was I'm a huge fan of Pit. It
It is fun.
I played it, you know, first time like 2 or 3 years ago, and it really is a good example of kind of a it's an old game, but a kind of less traditional game that I've pulled out to parties and just everyone loves. It's it for those that aren't familiar, it's Pit because it's a like a trading pit, and I guess it's from like the early 1900s, though it's simulating a stock market kind of game, and maybe that's what turns people off. But
They don't want to buy, was it orange futures or whatever?
right. So the objective of the game is to corner the market on a couple different things, and it's done by this mechanic where you're trading live blindly with, you know, all the people playing, and it just becomes this, you know, cacophony of yelling and trying to get everything done in time to ring the bell, which is the most satisfying thing ever in this game. But those kinds of games I really like. I like games that are competitive but not necessarily like mean about it. Like I feel that there are a lot of games where the way you win is you kind of sabotage other people, and this is much more you're just trying to win, and the competitiveness comes from everyone wanting to win, but not necessarily like from a cutthroat kind of perspective. And so another game that really worked for me kind of in that vein was a game called, oh, what is the name? It's Lost Cities. It's a two-player game, and it's a card game where you are setting up kind of the cards come out in like five different like suits or colors or different explorations, and you're trying to create a successful expedition by putting the cards out. And it's kind of a, you know, almost like a it's interesting because it's a two-player game, but it's almost like a solitaire game that you're playing where another person is there too, and so your moves affect that other person, but pretty much you can play, you know, completely on a track that doesn't interact with them, but it interacts just enough that it causes, you know, a little friction, which is good. Again, I like competitive games, but I guess I don't like, you know, I don't like adversarial kind of competitive games.
Oh, like the game of 2012, Julie's a Spy?
Well, that's a different one. That's definitely one of my favorite ones. The game is called The Resistance, and that's a it's a game with like a bunch of pieces, but really it's just a social deduction game. You're trying to figure out who's the bad guy, given really very little information, and
Other
it's
than Julie.
so the mechanic has a thing where you, let's say there are seven players. I think something like it makes it so three of them are spies, and so you deal out cards so everyone knows if they're a good guy or a bad guy, but you don't tell anybody else. So my wife, over the course of 9 games in a row, was a bad guy. This is over like 3 days, you know, different venues, all this kind of stuff. So it was just this running joke. Julie's a spy. Julie's a spy. And so we played this on New Year's Eve, and we played it after midnight. And so the joke was, oh, it's a new year. Everything's different. We played 3 games in a row, and she was not a spy any of those 3 games. And on the last game, she actually won. Her side won. So it's possible. New beginnings all over the place. But that's really a fun game because it is adversarial, but not in the way of like, I'm going to score more points than you. It's more, I'm going to figure out if you're a good guy or a bad guy. And it's really fun to play as a group.
the new group game for me this year that you introduced me to made me laugh harder than anything I can remember in recent history is the Cards Against Humanity, which I played on New Year's Eve again.
Oh, awesome. Good.
Yeah,
that's it's, I've heard it described actually. So it's very similar to the game Apples to Apples, except all of the choices. And Apples to Apples is a game where you say a word, and then everyone has to put words that are similar to that word, or phrases that are similar to that word, or fill in a blank, and then you kind of, as a group, determine which one, or the leader, you know, whoever puts the original question down, determines which one is the best answer. And it's like that, but instead of, you know, being for kids, it's for like really awful adults.
Twisted.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard
it referred to. Is the game twisted, or are we just twisted?
Yeah, right. Is this just really revealing our true selves? So I've heard the game described, if it's apples to apples, Cards Against Humanity is assholes to assholes.
I find that to be accurate.
Yep. That's a good game. But I think, and another game that, no, actually, we'll just go for my favorite game this year, for sure. And this is a game that's actually been around longer than this year, but I only ever was able to play it once this year. And that game is Fiasco.
Oh, Fiasco.
Which is by far, like, the best, like, gaming experience I can think of. and it's not a game per se. It's more like a role-playing game, but not a role-playing game where you're keeping track of hit points and stuff like that. It is purely the roles playing, the role-playing part of the game. So you actually generate a character over the course of the game, and you play like scenes as if it were a movie, and the game's kind of mechanics are built around are very similar to a lot of kind of Coen Brothers movies, Coen Brothers style movies, where there's kind of people from very disparate, maybe tenuously related past that have needs that clash in very interesting ways, but not directly, not right away. But when they do clash, everything goes haywire. And because there's that kind of cultural kind of glossary of that, just from all of the heist movies and kind of good cinema in general, I think it's easy to fall into the roles that you make because you just kind of amalgamate them from different movies you've seen and stuff like that. It's a really easy language to get into. Which
it's a great game for cinephiles.
Yeah. It's kind of similarly how I think it's easier to get into some role playing games if the kind of underlying property of the role play or the underlying kind of idea of it meshes with what you like. Like if you like, you know, dragons and adventuring, Dungeons and Dragons makes a lot of sense. If you're kind of a sci-fi person, then something, you know, more along the lines of like a Mass Effect game will really
Mass Effect. That came out this year.
Yes, Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Both
original
times.
Ending should not be a thing, but they fixed it okay for me.
Right. Yeah, I think the by having something familiar, it really works. And Fiasco works, again, you know, from if you like movies perspective, you're going to find a way to, you know, really enjoy it. So we have to play another Fiasco game. I have to get that just set up, like, on the regular. That's just
didn't everybody die in our game?
No, I think...
Maybe we have one person survive?
Didn't your character survive?
Mine was the worst character. Wasn't I the drug dealer?
No, I thought you were the
or was Julie the drug dealer?
No, Julie's was the drug dealer because mine was the ex KKK guy.
Oh, that's right.
So you were the drug dealer who was just trying to get out of town, and by happenstance of all of the things happening.
It had a high body count.
Yes. For a game where all the characters were played by three people, we killed a lot of people in that game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Excellent. But what else happened in 2012 that was of note?
No, nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. I think we hit all the high points, really. I mean, it's pretty good.
There was some sort of choosing of something about a leader being
selection,
chosen.
Something like that, right? Maybe it's rhymes
like
with
that.
Rhymes with selection, something like that.
Something about hope. I don't know.
Change. I don't know. Legalization of marijuana in two states. That's a thing.
Yeah.
It's wild. Amazing. Yeah, I think that's an interesting cultural touchstone of kind of if you want to look at...
of this podcast?
maybe not so directly related, but I think that and kind of the votes for marriage equality. I mean, I think those are where you'll see like the biggest kind of changes in kind of like the cultural landscape. That's really big. Definitely this year, the kind of emergence of a lot of online rights and like the squashings of those things also, really came out. I think there were more than a few instances of kind of the internet really kind of coming into its own as like a this is going to be something where people are making money. People are really really going to be making money, and it's a lot more in focus. I think it's less that you know, the idea of the internet is less what's the word I'm looking for? It's less kind of rosy for me anyway after this year. Kind of a bummer. Okay, we shouldn't end on that bummer. We should move on. What's a positive thing that happened this year that we would like to end on?
Ted got married. Ted and Claire got married.
Okay, that's
our
worth
friends.
It.
Our friends got married.
Our friends got married
in the coolest wedding ever.
Yeah, not only did two cool
that's
people
more personal,
married,
but
they invited the both of us to go with them and be in the wedding and go to Hawaii and do all sorts of crazy stuff. So that's a big thing. That's a very big positive thing. I like that. Good call.
Yeah, that's not so universal for everyone listening, but for well, me, there, I mean, that was pretty sweet.
There are probably a few of you that were listening and
might have been there.
May have, you know, wanted to be there and are happy for them. So, yeah. All right.
2012.
Cool. Very, very fun. Oh, yes. Another thing in 2012 is... our friend's sister Cordelia opened the pie shop this year in Norway. Pie should definitely
see episode 12A.
Yes. I love it. It's excellent. Yeah, I'm looking
forward
to...
Those are really the only two I remember the numbers for.
Yeah, right. Because of the A and the B kind of action on that.
Yeah.
Should we do that again? Was that fun to kind of do separate interviews? I mean, maybe not as a whole segment, but like maybe we could do like half of them and put them together.
I think we could probably work something out.
Yeah. I mean, this podcast is
have that ability.
Still in progress. I think anyone that's listened from the beginning can attest to that. And we'd love your thoughts and reactions to that. If you'd like to be a guest on any of these, whether it's a full segment or a half segment or however we do it, let us know. Let us know. We're not
too the other picky. Thing. I did want to bring up, we had some listener feedback of having an idea for a logo for the podcast.
Oh.
So we could try and get some merch going. So I think we should open a thread on the page to people for people to submit their ideas for what they think would be a good logo.
Oh, boy.
Since we have none.
Yeah. Yeah, currently
so we'll take whatever.
It's just that the text in that kind of big fat font that I can't remember the name of, but we had to hack it out of that other WordPress theme.
It was a hard birth for this podcast. It was not an easy labor.
But yeah, we could certainly suggest it, solicit logo themes. That would be cool. Yeah. 2013, the year the podcast gets a logo.
That's okay. So last year, the goal was to start a podcast. And that only took a couple months to happen.
Right.
So this year, 2013, I say the goal is to get a logo by the end of the year. Hopefully much sooner. But that's the goal.
Right. As NaNoWriMo comes up November, we still don't have a logo.
I don't want to be doing this podcast in 2014, doing our 2013 retrospective, eating crow. So please, let's figure something out.
Yeah. Help us help you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's been a wonderful 2012.
Indeed. It has been an honor and a privilege serving with you, sir.
Excellent. Brendan, I'll talk to you next week.
All righty.